On this week's episode, we have an announcement. My guide dog, Romana, is retiring.
Oh my goodness. We're going to talk all about that and give a few updates on my dog as well.
We got to know how Rue's doing. Stick around. Of course.
Hello and welcome to Rare with Flair,
the podcast where two best friends with the same rare disease are living their best lives. I'm your host, Cassandra.
And I'm your host, Casey.
Wow, we have a lot to talk about, but...
Oh my gosh.
But I know that you had like four things.
I have a lot of random things to say. None of them matter at all.
I'm sure that they matter a lot.
The first one kind of matters, and then maybe they matter less as the list goes down. But I am really excited, as you all heard in the cold open. This episode is going to be mostly all about Romana and her beautiful work she has done and her legacy and her retirement. And can't wait to talk about all of that.
Oh my gosh.
First, I do want to plug... Cassandra and I were recently guests on a podcast called AT Banter.
Yay!
And we had the most fun. It was such a lovely time.
Yay. So by the time, hopefully you guys have seen it, by the time that this episode comes out, it'll have been out for like a week. But we're going to, we'll have plugged it on our Insta story. But if you still haven't gotten to take a listen, I will link that in the show notes so that you guys can go and hear it. We had a lot of fun with them. They were so, so nice. Please listen to their show. They've been doing it for so long. It's impressive.
Yeah, and their show's really funny and good and informative. It was really a great time. Really had fun with them, and hopefully we'll collab again at some point.
I hope so.
The second piece of news, Cassandra and I had a bonding experience, I would call it, because... Taylor Swift's
yes,
new album.
Yes, yes, it was such a bonding experience.
The Tortured Poets Department, parts one and two, really, it's a double album, came out, and Cass and I listened at the same time and texted throughout the entire journey, and man, was it a journey.
It was such a journey. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. Loved the whole experience. I really like the album a lot, and I think... I do have some top tracks, but we don't need to spend too much time.
I loved it. Oh my gosh, it was so good. It's one of my favorite Taylor albums, and she's got 11, so.
Yeah.
It's hard to do
it's
that.
It's really, and they grow, Taylor's albums are growers, I think. They usually grow on me because you discover new things every time.
And I think a big part of, the enjoyment of Taylor's music is also, knowing what she's talking about, because a lot of her songs are either based on something historical or based on real life, in her real life. And I think it's really fun to also be talking to someone who knows, is more of a Swiftie than I am, just because you follow Taylor for intently for much longer than I have, so I appreciate that. But yeah, the new album, it's got a really cool sound. I really dig it. It's awesome.
Yeah, me too. We had a really fun time listening together.
So good.
I have a few more things, but have you done anything exciting lately or any updates you want to share?
Any updates? Honestly, it's kind of just business as usual. Just since conference... baking. I'm almost done with my degree, so I'm finishing my classes.
Yes.
But I'm really excited. I will soon graduate with my master's, and it's going to be great.
Yes, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
And it's coming soon, very soon.
So
the
soon.
Light at the end of the tunnel is here. A few other things. I planted my tomatoes and my flowers and all the things, and I feel like we talked about that last year, so I wanted to share. Spring has sprung. It is here, people. It's exciting. And then my other update was a few days ago, I saw Wicked, the musical. It came to my town.
Oh my gosh.
If I've learned anything about myself, it's that my tastes have not changed at all since I was 12. They've expanded, but they haven't changed. Because I love that show.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's
so,
it's an amazing show. And I,
yeah.
Well, okay, wait, but like they did something different. And Casey was telling me about it. And like, it's the kind of thing that only someone who's seen the show a lot would notice. But she was like, you know, in one of the scenes, like they did something different and it just kind of bugged me. Like,
yeah,
it's just so impressive and such a testament to how much you both love the show and how well you know the show.
I know it scary well. Like, it's bad. It's bad. Like, I know all of the dialogue, all of the blocking. Like, it's bad. And I had to go to Reddit to make sure I wasn't, like, dreaming things when I saw something different. I had to consult Reddit to be like, is this real? And they did validate me. They were like, yeah, that actually was not always a thing. And yeah.
Oh, that's something else that Case does, which I depend on and love, because like as we're watching, so we're still watching Adventure Time, if anyone's keeping up us to our cartoon adventures. And if something bizarre, I mean, that show is bizarre, but like if something strange happens that is like confusing or unexpected, I'm just like, Reddit, Casey, Reddit, Reddit.
We'll go to Reddit immediately. Yes. And we do. And by we, I mean me, but like I'm on FaceTime.
It's always her. Yeah.
And while I'm just like, you gotta tell me. Hold on. I'm going to Reddit. Wait, the ending credits were a little weird. I'm going to Reddit. Hold on. And Reddit never fails. It never fails me. Reddit, they know everything. I had a friend who was like wondering about something on the show, The Golden Girls. And she was like, I've Googled it a million times. I can't figure it out. I was like, hold on, please. Went to Reddit, found the answer in 0.4 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like nuts.
They know everything over there.
They know everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they know more about Wicked than I do, and that's really saying something. So.
Right, you were reading me the responses of what people had said, and I was like,
they knew exactly what I was talking about. Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So yeah, that's the only updates I have, really.
Okay, was there anything, was that it?
That was it.
How have you been, by the way?
Been good.
You know. Gotta go through your to-do list. I want to see how you're doing.
Oh, you know, good.
Surviving and thriving.
I think Taylor's album is single-handedly carrying me through life, just in general.
Yeah. It's so good. It's really good.
It's great. It's great.
Oh. So. It's hard to know how to begin this.
I know. This is such a huge topic.
So I think if you guys heard our first episode this year where we're talking about our vision board, I had hinted at something a little bit cryptic, and this was it. I've known for a while that, and Case also therefore has known for a while that this is coming, but yeah, it is time for Romana to retire. And so like what that means is basically like, I think when I first say that to people, a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't realize that happened. And if you aren't very familiar with like service dogs or just like weren't aware that dogs will eventually retire too, it's kind of like the comparison I keep drawing is like, it's like people, like, you know, people tend to retire from their jobs around like 60s, right? Some people work less time, some people work more time. And it's really similar to dogs, especially guide dogs. So Romana right now is 9 and a half, which means that she is like in her maybe like late 50s, early 60s in human years, which is like about retirement age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Guide dogs have to be very like mentally and physically alert and fit. And if they're not for whatever reason, and that could be like sickness, that could be like physical exhaustion, that could just be like mental effort, you know, maybe it's a good time for them to retire and stop working and guiding me in my regular life. So I also
and Oh, yeah. No, go
oh,
ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that she's healthy. Like, I think that's also the first concern. But
yeah, and I think, you know, depending on different things that come up, some guide dogs have to retire or stop working really, mm-hmm. really early. And I think Romana, you know, has had a really good run, and she is at that age. And that she's had, like, a full career, which is something to be really proud of for both of you, because you were part of that reason, too. Like, you had to help keep her healthy. You had to keep her going, keep her working. And she is still really healthy. Like, you know, she's still looking great and doing great. But so I'm glad it's kind of like a soft – it was kind of like a soft retirement. Mm-hmm. For a while, you've known this and kind of prepared for this. Not that it's any easier, but I'm just glad that we can look back and as if I'm her, like, owner, I'm not, but, you know, everyone that knows her and loves her can look back and say, like, she had a really good career.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, I mean, you're part of this because, so, like, we draw the comparison a lot where, like, it was the same year that you moved to New York, like, a month after I got Romana.
Yeah.
Was, you know, when I got her, and it was August of 2016, which is a while. It's almost 8 years.
And when I think about it from that perspective, it does feel like a really long time, because I feel like it was a long time ago that I moved to New York.
Right.
And so when I think of it from there, I'm like, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. It so is. And at the same time, though, like, she's been such a constant that it doesn't feel like a very long time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure it feels both ways. I remember when you first got her, I remember you sent me a picture with her name on it and her face. It still feels like a fresh memory to me, even though it's one of those things where I agree where it feels long ago, but it also feels like yesterday in a lot of ways too.
It's really hard to quantify it, but it's strange. So, like, Romana's my first guide dog, and, like, the process behind retirement, because a lot of people are like, well, how does that happen? So I remember asking the same thing to the staff. I got her from Guide Dogs for the Blind. So I remember asking them, like, hey, when do I know that my dog is ready to retire? Because I've never done this before. And they say, oh, she'll tell you. And I'm like, but what does that mean, though? I'm a really, like, practical person, and so I kind of just wanted someone to tell me the answer.
Yeah.
But when when the dogs are about 8, they'll start coming out in person to evaluate you every year. So they send out some trainers, some field service representatives, and they'll come and they'll watch you walk. So, like, I would, you know, this happened, like, in 2022, I think. So in that fall, they came to visit me, and, like, she and I walked to, like, the closest grocery store that's, like, within walking distance to my house and then back. And then they just kind of, like, they're never going to tell you unless your dog is, I think, really in, like, rough physical shape. But the trainers were kind of like, well, she seems like a little bit slow for you. It looks like you want to walk faster than her. And I could kind of tell what they were getting at, but I didn't really, like, I don't think I was really super ready to hear that yet. And she was 8? Yeah, she was 8. Like, freshly 8. I was like, oh, but she's not that old. Like, you know, I don't know. I think it's okay, whatever. But, you know, then I also asked, what signs should I really be looking for? And they gave me some more, I don't know, like, actionable items. Like, maybe she's just not, like, mentally into it. She's a little bit more distracted as you're walking. She will stop. And, like, it's harder to get her attention, I guess. She'll stop and, like, sniff things more. She'll get more distracted by dogs. But I really felt like she worked pretty well throughout 2023 for, like, the first half of the year. Like, I went on vacation, though, and I went out of the country, which I still wouldn't take a guide dog out of the country just because there are so many different, like, legal considerations there. But we were gone for, like, 2 weeks, and she stayed with a family friend, and then I picked her up. And, like, I started noticing that she was, like, not super into it. And I was like, ah, maybe it's because it's the summer. Maybe it's because she hasn't been working for 2 weeks. So, you know, we worked throughout, like, you know, rest of June and July. And then it wasn't until, like, end of August. The catalyst, really, for me to, like, take a good hard look was, this is really sad. So Molly Burke... It's like, what is it? Take a shot every time we say Molly Burke.
Yep. Yep. We still have that rule, by the way.
So Molly Burke had just posted that her second guide, Gallup, had passed. And he was like 11 and worked for how long? I don't know, like 6-8 years. He wasn't that much older than Roe.
I think he had retired maybe like a year prior or something around, I don't know, around that maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know he retired, like, a big reason was because it was the pandemic, and a lot of dogs had to retire after the pandemic. And I was impressed that Romana continued to work pretty well.
Yeah, she did.
But, like, I saw, like, his age, and she had just, like, she was very close to turning 9. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's not that much longer. Like, 11, really? And then I just sat and I thought about it, and it was a really nice day out, and I was like, hey, Romana, let's go on a walk. Let's go work down the street and back. And I had food rewards just to make sure that she was, like, kind of extra perky. And I think that walk was super telling, because even with food rewards, which she's highly food motivated, she's a lab. She was just slow and not really, like, mentally there. Like, I think she was just kind of elsewhere in her brain. And it's not that she was, like, being bad or anything. There were times throughout that walk that, like, she maintained pace okay, but kind of got a little bit of a taste of that, just kind of what it was always like. But it was, she broke pace often. I had to, like, kind of constantly encourage her. And I was like, oh, wow, I think she's done. I think she's really close to being done.
Yeah. And I kind of remember a lot of this. Like, I just remember you were kind of keeping me updated as all this happened. And I do remember that first time where, you know, they said she was going a little slower. And I remember all of these times that you're pointing out specifically. And I remember you saying, like, I want to say it was, like, a year ago or a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know when this was. You might even know better than I do. But I remember you saying, like, I just really want her to be able to walk me at graduation from grad school, which is coming up in a few weeks. And I remember you saying, like, I really just want to get there. And at the time, it felt like it was a while. Like, you were telling me this over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it kind of felt like it was a while from now. And I remember thinking, like, oh, I really hope she can. And we just didn't know what the future held at that point.
Yeah.
And it's looking like, I mean, that's going to happen. And
So
that's really, really cool. But I just remember that you saying that a long time ago when you were trying to kind of decide if you were retiring her or not.
Yeah, I think it was that first time when they were kind of hinting at me that maybe it was, like, a good time to start thinking about it. And I was, like, I think I was only in my second semester of grad school at that point. But, like, it's wild. I'm, like, 2-ish weeks away from graduating. And she will be walking me, and it's so cute. I got her a little, like cap and gown on Etsy.
Yeah, she's gonna look it's so cute.
Yeah, it's wild. But
and I know, like, a lot of people have a lot of questions for you all the time about this, like, this. Like, it's, you know, people are curious and they also just don't know. And you made a really great Facebook post. I mean, your Facebook is private. This is not, like, an open thing, right? But you made a Facebook post doing a really good job of just kind of answering a lot of those questions. And And I know that's kind of what you're also going to do in this episode a little too, mm-hmm. is just kind of answer the most frequently asked questions right. about guys. And this is your first time going through this too. So yeah. you're like learning as you go, I'm sure. But
yeah, it's like there's a lot to take in. Both like, I don't know. There's a lot to do, but it takes a while. So you can kind of spread out those tasks. So
yeah,
in my post, I kind of had started by talking about like, okay, what does that mean now going forward for Romana? So Romana will be officially done working, like June 3rd. Which is actually a really significant day for me because that's when I had surgery for my ostomy oh. 9 years prior. So
yeah, wow.
It just kind of ended up working out that way. Like I'm planning a little like party locally that I was like yeah. That first weekend of June. So like she will be done then, and then, she'll just be a pet. So basically what that means is like, just imagine your, like Rupert, right? Your dog, oh, yes. your pet dog. You can take him places that like dogs are allowed or on a patio or, you know, around outside and go just for a regular walk. But you couldn't take Rupert to like a restaurant or your right. church.
And if you walk her, she'd be just on a leash and not on her harness, her guide dog harness anymore, right. that kind of thing, right? Yeah.
And that's kind of the last, like one of the last pieces is that I have to actually mail back the guide dog harness to Guide Dogs for the Blind. It's technically their property, but I think it's like really intentional so that like I don't just continue to work her after like the decision has been made.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that temptation would be really hard to avoid.
So. It's also kind of like nice closure in a way. I don't know. I'm a person who likes closure with things, and you are too. Yeah, I feel like us, the way our brains work with timelines and dates, like we like mm-hmm. beginnings and endings. We like closure, and so that feels kind of like very final to turn in the harness, you know, and just say like, this is the retirement.
It is official, so. Official.
Yeah, official. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hence June 3rd, because that's like when I can go to the post office, you know?
yeah.
But anyway, and then eventually, so like that kind of leads into, I will be getting a new guide dog at some point, and I will talk more about what that's like, but when I do get a new guide dog, Romana will move out of my house and she will live with my parents, who are super excited. My dad is like,
oh yeah,
so excited.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad. I mean, they'll have so much fun with her and you'll still be able to see her a good bit too.
Yeah. And
she'll do you want to like kind of explain why she needs to move out of your house or yeah. why it's a good idea?
I think that's a great idea. So, like, I live by myself and, you know, just me and Romana for now. But I don't think personally I could take care of two dogs in general just because that's a lot to take on.
That's a lot.
Some people could, but I don't think for me that would work out. Also, if I had, like, a working guide and a retired guide, they would have very different needs. So, like, my working guide would be going places with me and actively working. And my retired guide, Romana, just wouldn't be doing that. Like, I would still have to take her on walks, though, because she needs the exercise. But, like, I think it would be a lot to balance. And where I've seen that work really well, where, like, people will keep their retired guides, is if they... like, if they live with someone else, like, if they have a spouse or live with a family member or a roommate or just someone else that, like, their retired guide could kind of become the other person's dog. Like, you can still... because you also, like, when you have a new guide dog, there's this, like, long process to bond with your dog. Like, you really just have to get to know them and you've got to trust each other a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that dog is your number one priority at that point.
It is, and I would feel really, like, I would feel really bad to...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because Roman and I are already so bonded, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it would be hard. And it would be hard for Romana to see your new guy going with you everywhere. And,
yeah.
You know, when she used to be the one.
Yeah. Do you? I know. Yeah. And I think, yeah. like, she's happy to be done.
Oh,
I
yeah. think, oh, yeah.
I think maybe if she had to retire early for, like, health reasons, but, like, her brain was still sharp, she would maybe be more resentful that she was...
That's true.
...like, replaced. But I think at this point now, like, she... Like, when we're at home, she just sleeps so much now because she's
ready
so
to relax.
She's ready. So prepared.
Yeah, she is prepped, which is great to see. Like, you want her to have a relaxing retirement and enjoy herself.
Yeah. Yeah, I so
after,
do.
After putting in a lot of hard work.
She put in She's so much job. Work. And, like,
yeah.
since I got her when I was 19, we did, like, so, so much stuff. Romana has seen so mm-hmm. much stuff.
She like, has.
I have, like, I throughout the years, I've kind of maintained. I love, I don't know, I love patterns. I love statistics. I love numbers. And so I maintain, like, a little list of, like, things Romana has done in her career. And, like, for example, let me see. She's taken, oh my gosh, this is kind of insane. She's been on 63 flights.
Wow, that's amazing.
She's visited 17 states in the U.S. She's been on 7 road trips. And she'll have, by the time she retires, she'll have 2 degrees.
Oh, yes.
She's been in 5 jobs. We've lived at 8 different addresses.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, she's been to, like, what, 13 conferences.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, she's been on stage 14 times.
Oh my
and that
gosh,
doesn't include all of the times that she's been on stage at, like, doing worship at church, because she'll be on stage with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's had 3 poison control crises averted when she was, yikes. Back when she was younger.
Yep.
Yeah, she's done so much.
I love that you have those to look back on. I love that you kept... I mean, I'm a stats person, too, through and through.
I knew that you'd appreciate it because you also like course. That kind of thing.
Of course. So, yeah. No, I think that's so cool, and I hope you do the same for your new guide.
Yes. It's the Romana Wrapped, if you will. You know,
this is... Yeah, Romana Wrapped! And, you know, this is the Romana episode, of course, but I also just have to say, I think about your successor dog quite often and who they will be, and I'm excited to meet them, and I pray for that dog, and I'm excited to know who they are. I mean, not to skip too far ahead past the Roe moment that we're having. But I'm excited also. I think it's sad and it's exciting.
It is. And, like, I want to talk a lot about what that new journey is going to be like. But I wanted to, like, just maybe wrap up with more, like, let me see. Just more, like, I don't know, feelings, like, personal feelings about this. And then I also, in between that and then, like, talking about the successor dog, I also want to know how Rue is doing.
we gotta give a Rue day update.
Yeah, he's an important part of this pod.
I know. I told Cassandra, I was like, I haven't talked about Rupert in so long on the pod. I hope people know that he's still alive. I just feel like I haven't had to mention him lately.
No, he's
but he's still the apple of my eye, the stars of my sky, the light of my life. I tell him these things every day. So yeah, we'll talk about it. I can talk about him a lot, but we'll do that later.
I can't wait. I can't wait. It's our little intermission and, like, all of this. Yeah, that's, like, the intermission. Guide dogs.
100%. Yes.
So, like, it's really, it's a lot to retire a guide. And I also wanted to, like, kind of add on to something I said earlier that, like, Romana's been slower. I will say she's never been very fast, and I have to, like, I have to make people understand that I walk really quickly. I'm pretty tall. I'm 5'9", and I have very long legs. But Casey's also not 5'9", and does not and have long legs, and you also really walk fast.
Yeah, I do. We both do. Mm-hmm. So when we're together, we keep the pace. Like, I walking next to you because, like, it's awesome. I never have to be like, come on, people.
I love walking next to you, too, because, like,
yes.
man, everyone else is so slow. But
we keep the pace, yeah.
So Romana's never been, like super fast. She's always been a touch slower than what I wish, but she did so well in so many other capacities that, like, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
And she had obviously more energy when she was younger, so it's more that I'm, like, noticing more of a bigger change now. But when it's, like, so gradual, you don't always realize what's going on.
Right.
She's been in soft retirement, was what I call, since, like early September, where, like, she just, like, hasn't been traveling with me anymore. Like, the last trip that she took was at the end of September. We went to the NIH. And, right, super special last drive. But, like, coming back, I took, like, a picture of her, like, sitting on the plane because I knew that was going to be the last time that she was on a plane. But she's also, you know, little by little, I've just started, like, really considering when I want to take her places. So I'll leave her at home more often and I'll take my cane instead. But, you know, trips that I've been on recently, like when I went to CSUN a few weeks ago, or even when I went to the HPS conference, I had my cane for those events because traveling is, it's so grueling and they're really long days. Even if she's not, like, actively guiding me, she still has her harness on, like, almost all day. So she still has to be, like, on.
Yes.
So, like, that's just still a lot of, like, mental effort for her. And at this point, when she's basically done, I just didn't really feel like it was fair to keep taking her when I know that it's just so much to ask. But it's really wild, like, seeing the dog from, like, you know, when you were 19 finish working. It's kind of like whiplash. You go through so many memories, and it's amazing. I'm so impressed by her. Like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect episode to talk about this. Casey and I were having this conversation, some months back about, like, Enneagram typing our dogs.
Ah, yeah.
And, yes. Like, it was so great because, like, at first I was like, I don't know if that's possible. No, I think it's completely possible.
Oh, it's completely possible. In fact, we went through many dogs that we know.
And they were all different.
Different types.
Yeah.
Which is shocking. Shocking.
Right. You would think maybe it's dogs just are like a dog.
All the same. No, they're all different. Mm-mm. Very different.
Yeah. What is Rue? Really quick.
So Rupert's an Enneagram 7, which is the fun, life of the party, always up for, you know, I was just having a funny conversation with my mom. I'll be brief, but, you know, this is some of my Rupert moment, I guess, that we'll go ahead and say. I named him Rupert Giles after the character on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And if you know that character at all, he's pretty intellectual, pretty serious. He reminds me actually more of my first dog as a child I had growing up. When I was younger, I always said, speaking of Wicked, I always said I wanted to name a dog Fiero. And I didn't. I named him Rupert. But he is Fiero. Like, he... actually is like a party boy, like, dancing through life, like, who cares, nobody, we're all gonna die anyway, like, that's Rupert. And so I was like, I really messed up. I love the name Rupert, but I messed up with the name of it if we're thinking of the actual character he's based on.
That's so funny. Yeah,
he's a full frat boy party guy, like, always way too hyper for everyone around him and can't read the room, but yeah.
That's so funny. Wait, did he, when you got him from the breeder, did he have a name already, or?
He did. It was Duke.
Okay. I feel which like
also doesn't fit him at all. Well,
I feel like, well, I don't know. I don't think so.
It fits him in the sense that he thinks he's entitled and the whole world's about him, I guess.
I'm thinking, like, Duke sounds like a jock, you know?
But he's not, like, distinguished enough to be Duke. Like, nah. Like a Duke. I'm thinking of, like, a Duke. Like, you know, like a Duke or Duchess. Like, yeah, so, that's so funny. No, I changed it, so, yeah.
No, that's fair. I didn't know, sometimes, like, names can predict how people will be. Yeah. So I was wondering if, like, that was a, nah, it wasn't. He's just Fiero, like.
He is, but I messed up, so that's he's okay. Rupert.
He's Rupert. He'll always be.
Yeah. Well, that character also kind of had an interesting past, so maybe he's, like, the past version of himself.
The Ripper.
Ripper.
Version of Rupert.
Yeah. If anyone knows Buffy, that's... what about Ro? What is Ro's Enneagram?
Is just, like, I thought about it for a minute, and there's no other type that would work better than an Enneagram 3.
And I knew this before you decided. Oh, yeah. To. I agree completely.
So an Enneagram 3 is the achiever, and they want success, and threes can, you know, occasionally tend to have a little bit of an ego thing. Romana has an ego thing for sure. She's well aware that she is very smart, she is very pretty, and she carries herself with that confidence. It's really funny, though, because she's still, like, she's not just, like, full of it. She's not entitled, because she's still really goofy. And when she's, like, off harness, like, she's, like, such a flirt, really. Mm. That's what she does, especially when off harness. If there's, like, a group of people I'm, like, hosting, you know, like, a small group or a handful of friends at my house, and she's, like, you know, she's off harness when we're at home. She'll, like, run around from person to person getting her fill and will just continue in that cycle where she knows she's, continuously going to get attention. She loves attention.
Yeah. She's such a three in every way. She is a queen. We've always called her the queen, but, like, she really is. Like, she just exudes that grace. I think the name Romana fits her very well.
I think it does.
It really does. It's very, like, poised, like, elegant, regal. And, like,
Romana, like, a lot of labs aren't super expressive and don't, like, smile, kind of, like, hang their tongue out of their mouth the way, like, you see a golden retriever doing. Some labs do. I find that a lot of, like, the working dogs don't. But Romana especially just, like, has chronic RBF.
Yeah, truly. She like, does. And she
always has.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny because, when she works, I usually work her with a gentle leader, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a head collar. So think of, like, a bridle for a horse where it kind of slips over their nose and behind their ears. It doesn't hurt her. It's not a muzzle. A lot of people think that it is, but it's not. Like, if she wanted to bite you, she could. Not that she would, but she could. But anyway, like, a lot of people would see her wearing her gentle leader in her harness, and they would be like, wow, she looks so sad. I'm like, no, she just has RBF. No. Like, that's just her face.
She's really not sad at all. She's very, like, she has high spirits and everything, but her face, she gives you that look, especially in photos. It can be pretty funny sometimes when I look at her. But she also often matches what you're doing in a photo, which I think is so funny, because I know that, like there are certain photos where she just understood the assignment. Like, she understood the vibe. Like, there was a photo recently where you were, like, looking up, and she had her head, like, tilted the same way as you did.
I was really impressed, because
so funny.
Usually she likes to look the other way. She knows when a photo is being taken.
Yeah.
And so my mom has been tried to trick her, because the way they train them at GDB is that, like, in order, like, before they eat their food, they always sit and wait patiently until you give them the release word, which is, like, okay, like, said in kind of a higher pitched voice. And my mom will do that, and she will, like, go back and look at the camera because she thinks it's over. And she's like, oh, look, we're done now. But, like, she'll just, like, look the opposite direction.
That's
like,
so funny.
Or she'll just, like, look kind of pathetic. She's like, I don't want this photo paparazzo. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
she does. She does. She knows at this point what you're doing. Oh, we're taking another one of those photos. Oh,
great. Mom and her pictures, I guess.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
She's so funny. She's so funny. But I am just, I am so impressed by her. She really does aim to please, and she does such a good job. I've always been just so astounded by her memory. So, like, I will put part of her food in this, like, cube puzzle toy, and she'll kick it around. It's kind of like Rupert's, like, Kong Wobbler. I know that you know. Yeah. I know that you've seen her cube, but, like, it's so funny because I remember once I had to, like, run an errand before, and, like, it was before, like, she finished the cube part of her meal. Like, she ate part of her food in the bowl. And then I put her in her crate because I wasn't going to take her. It was just, like, a, like, I need to grab something from one store in a car and then come back. I told that story wrong. But, so, like, one time I had to run to the store, but she hadn't finished her cube. And I put her on her harness, and then we left, and we went to, like, Home Depot or something, and then came back. But the whole time at Home Depot, she was just incredibly perky. And I was like, well, gee, I didn't realize you were so anxious to work. Like, this was, like, a few years ago. And she came back and immediately went to go look for her cube. She knew exactly what was waiting for her at home and was not deterred by that errand in the middle that got in the way of her food. Yeah, no,
she remembered. That's hilarious.
I remember, like, we would take, so, like, I lived in a sorority house when I was in undergrad for a couple of years, and we would take pretty much the same route to campus and back. We would usually go to the Starbucks on our way too, and so she knew, like, you know, the route from the Starbucks to, like, across campus, which Ohio State is, like, a massive campus. It's really big. It's got its own zip code. I remember, like, years after I finished undergrad, I think it was maybe, like, it was post-2020, maybe, like, 3-ish years ago, and I finished undergrad, like, 5 years ago. We were on campus for some reason. We're not usually on campus. She remembered the entire, she just started walking. And I was oh, where are we going? And I just decided to follow her because I was like, oh my gosh, this was our old route. She took me the entire way. Wow. Years later.
Yeah. Wow. It was crazy. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It used to be her home.
I know, right?
She remembered.
It's wild. She's so smart. And I just, like, I just couldn't begin to, like, thank her and appreciate her for all of the hard work that she's put in over the past nearly 8 years. It's just, I don't know. They always say, like, working a guide dog is something special, and, like, oh my god, I didn't think I was gonna get emotional, but it really is. Like, I just, there are times that I feel like we can read each other's minds. Like, she knows what I want. Like, even today, we were at work at my office, like, my work. And usually, like, around the same time of day, I'll, like, go to the Starbucks at work. There's a theme here. Mm-hmm. I like Starbucks. And, like, she knows around that time that we're not leaving, but we are going to Starbucks. Like, she just knows.
Yeah, yeah.
They're, like, I don't always have to give her commands anymore because she just knows what I want and where we're going. And, you know, like, I feel really, like, safe, and I feel really secure with her. And, like, now I'm going back to using a cane. And the cane has its own pros and cons, right?
Mm-hmm.
but like when I'm using a cane, I'm not like an anxious person, but I like I don't have anxiety as a disorder, but like I feel much more uneasy and anxious than when I'm with Romana, even if like it's really crowded and she's kind of like squished against a corner and like it feels like it's a tight space, and so I feel like I'm taking up a ton of space by having me and her, but just like I feel so secure because I know that she's got me.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I'm a cane user and I have my own and which is why I think this podcast is actually cool, because we have our own reasons for being like mm-hmm. a cane user or a guide dog user, and like I have my own reasons for not being a guide dog user, and I think it's good to show both sides, like mm-hmm. And I see what you're saying though, because I feel like I'm not a guide dog user, but I feel like using a guide dog as opposed to a cane almost feels more similar to like doing sighted guide with a human, like,
yeah,
than using a cane. If you like, because it feels like it's not a human, but there is like another soul, another pair of eyes. Like it feels more like holding a human's yeah. arm than using a cane.
It feels more natural that way.
Right.
Right. Cause like they always say like a guide dog, like a cane is an obstacle finder. Like you'll hit something with your cane and be like, I found something. A yeah. trash can, a crack in the sidewalk, a door. But a guide dog is an obstacle avoider. And so you yeah. just kind of have more of a gliding
uh-huh.
where you don't find every little thing. And like that does make it feel like much more natural. And the fact that like, you know, you guys are kind of connected. Yeah, I don't know. She's yeah. really special. And like, I'm so grateful to have had her as my first guide. I also, like, as for, like, to your point about, like, reasons why, I think, you know, I got her when I was in undergrad and I was walking, like, a lot every day. And obviously my lifestyle's changed quite a bit since then. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of rideshare places, but I still do walk regularly to do things like go to the gym and go to the pharmacy and go to the grocery store. And honestly, like, after having been in an accident where I had my cane, you know, it wasn't my cane's fault that I was in an accident, but, like, I know that I would want to continue working a guide dog because I know that the likelihood of that happening again with a guide dog is not as high as the likelihood of it happening again with just my cane, 'cause
yeah.
the dog can, like, foresee that something is going to happen and kind of act on that. That's part of their training. And I would trust... I would trust her continuously over and over again.
Yeah,
over
totally.
Repeating the same thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like most guide dog users agree... Like, most people I know who are guide dog users, like, think that they are better than a cane and they don't regret it. And I feel like though a lot of people, like, especially I see parent, no offense, parents, hi, we love you. A lot of parents of young kids are like, my kid's going to be a guide dog user because dogs are cute and dogs are fun and it's the cool way to be. And service dogs are so fun. You can take your dog to the store. Oh my gosh, how fun. And like, let your kid decide that, because I have my own reasons for being a cane user, and canes are not terrible. They have pros too. Like, and I mean, you know, this is the guide dog episode, so of course we're talking about all the amazing things about guide dogs, and they can't be beat. They're like a real living, breathing, they're amazing. But I just think some people are like, oh, like they choose it because they're like, oh, we get to like take a dog somewhere. We love that. And it's like, there are reasons to be a cane user if that's the way you're going to go too. So like, I don't know, like people, can definitely, you know, be like that.
Right. I actually was talking recently to a friend who's blind who worked a guide dog and now is not really thinking that she wants a successor. And it's really interesting. Like, she really loved working a guide dog, but I asked her why. And she was like, you know, I like the lifestyle. And part of her reason is like, I don't have to worry about taking care of my dog. If I want to go out with friends, I don't have to worry that my dog is at home. If I end up staying out later than I had originally planned, if I want to spend the night at a friend's apartment, like, I can do that. If I, you know, I'm in a crowded space, I don't feel bad that my dog is getting smooshed. Like, there are a lot of reasons why working a guide dog is honestly sometimes a little bit more inconvenient than using a cane.
It's more responsibility. But for a lot of people, that is completely worth it.
She was like, I can put my cane back in my closet, and then I don't have to think about it until the next time I leave my house.
Yeah, for sure. There are a lot of pros and cons, for sure. And that's something for, that is a very personal decision. And so, like, that was not meant to be shade to parents, but just remember, like, that's a personal decision for when your kid grows up of what they decide fits their life. Yeah. Because when your kid is 11, they don't know what their adult life is even going to look like, you know, like of where they're going to live or anything. So,
right. It's definitely an option, you know.
Absolutely.
If your child is blind, it is an option. But don't treat it like anything other than that. It's an option.
Right, totally.
You know, your kid definitely has the right to decide. And for the vast majority of guide dog schools, like, kids can't get guide dogs. You know, there are some that will take like 16-year-olds or even younger, but those are fewer and further between. I'm pretty sure Guide Dogs for the Blind really, really stresses the fact that you should be like at least 18, just because there's a huge level of responsibility, part of which is like bonding with your dog. So if you're not the primary caretaker of your guide dog, and you're not going enough places to give it enough work to do, like, I know I for sure wasn't at 16. I would go to, like, I would get driven to school and then get driven back home, you know? Like,
right,
I didn't do that much else.
Right, right.
But it is, like, I guess, like, you can just present the option, but
yes,
it's very, very, very lifestyle and personality driven.
Yeah, for sure.
But I love Romana so much. I am really glad that, so, like, until I get a new guide dog, there is going to be an overlap period where she's retired and I am not, I do not have a successor dog. So, like, I'm still really, like, happy that we'll get to hang out throughout the summer and I'll get to take her to brewery patios and, you know, she can just like go for a little walk around the neighborhood and I'll take my cane on that walk and have my hands completely full, but she gets to stop and smell the pole at the corner of the street. She stood there smelling it for like what felt like 5 minutes yesterday. And I was like, can we move on? I am bored. She can't tell me what secrets she's learning by sniffing that pole, man. But anyway, Rupert, intermission. Rupert.
I hear him at this very moment scratching at the front door to be let out. I'm going to ignore that. Love you, Rupert. I'll be brief. You know, this is more of a Romana episode, but we did
I'll
give a little update on Rupert. Rupert is 5 now.
Wow.
He is doing great. He's still extremely hyper. I walk him every single day. He needs it. Trust me. Unless like the weather is just terrible, I do walk him every day to get his energy out. He's really smart too. He just uses it for his own, like, you know, he uses it for bad. A funny story recently, like sometimes in the morning when I'm letting him out, I have an alarm that I set at night, and like sometimes I'll forget to turn it off. So I'll open my front door and it starts beeping. And if it starts beeping, I'll run over to turn it off. And he'll run with me because, like, he's my shadow. And so So recently I opened my front door and the alarm started beeping and he like immediately ran over to it like before I even started. Like he knows now. He's like, if it beeps, I guess we're running.
We run back for some reason.
Me and Mom are running back if it beeps. And like, so he like knows that now, which is so funny. That's so cute. He cracks me up. Makes me laugh. Really Enneagram 7 party guy. And he's barking at me as we speak to let him out, which I feel kind of bad about. But he's fine. I just let him out a few hours ago. He's fine. But no, he's great. I really do spend more time with him than any other human in my whole life. I'm with him all the time. Because I work from home and we're always together. And so, yeah, it's, I feel like every part of my house reminds me of him. And everything I look at is a memory with him. So, you know, that's kind of, I don't know why that sounds sad. He's only five, but.
I know, it's cute though.
It's, yeah.
Well, also, I think everyone in your life knows how much you love Bichon Frise's. So you have, like, no shortage of, like, Bichon art.
It's obnoxious. It's bad.
And, like, knickknacks. And I don't know.
So many, because people just buy me Bichon Frise stuff. I have so many. I have socks. I have oven mitts that you got me. I have pictures. I have multiple figurines. I have books.
Your Christmas tree is like a shrine to Bichon Frise.
A million ornaments. I have multiple Bichon tea towels that people have given me.
Oh my gosh.
I have literally cups, mugs. And if anyone ever finds something with a Bichon on it and they say, look, I probably already have it. And you don't find Bichon stuff very often, though, which is funny. People, like, scout it out, which is great. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. He's the best.
He's great. I love him. And every time, like, almost every time we FaceTime, like, Casey will turn the camera on him.
And you just scream.
I just, like, oh, I have so much cute aggression inside of me. Like, I see him, and he's just this, like, cloud with a face. Like... It's so cute.
Okay, I've got to say, I know I'm biased, but, like, he and Romana are both extremely good-looking dogs.
They're really, they really pretty dogs.
Like, Romana is the prettiest dog I've ever seen in my life, and Rupert is, like, exactly breed standard how a Bichon is supposed to look. He's just really good-looking. They're both, like, extremely good-looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Romana, I'm not kidding, is the prettiest dog. Her eyes, I've never seen prettier eyes on a dog.
Her eyes are really gorgeous. She's got, so, like... It was funny because when you get, and this almost leads into the next bit, but like when you get a new guide dog or you're on the list for one, some of what they ask you is like, do you have any preferences for kind of like superficial things like, you know, breed type, guide dogs for the blind trains, like labs and goldens and kind of crossbreeds. So, you know, color of lab. Or golden retriever, and initially when I was first getting her and applying, I had said, like, you know, I'll take the best match. That being said, because I do have some vision, I find it really challenging to see, like, the contrast between a black lab's face and eyes and nose. They all just kind of look like one big little void. and so I was like, well, you know, it's not like the biggest deal, but I might prefer a yellow lab just because I want to see their face. Okay, but not only did I get a yellow lab, but I got the yellow lab with the most defined facial features.
Yes, you did.
Ever. Like,
you did.
She's got like these black rings around her eyes that look like eyeliner. And it's just, it's so gorgeous. Her eyes are not just brown, they're almost amber yellow.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
They're so pretty. She's got a pretty short face for a lab. Like, her nose is not very long. And she's got this, like, brownish pink nose. Oh my gosh. She's got the cutest, most beautiful face. And her ears are, like, she's so incredibly soft, too.
Yeah.
Where, like, people will be, like... sad, like, out loud to me that, like, they can't pet her, and I'm like, oh, that's a bummer too, because she is really soft. Like,
yeah.
Her ears feel like velvet. Like, she's an immaculate dog.
She is. She really is. And I say that all the time, like, not just to your face. Like, my mom and I say that behind your back. Of like, she's the most beautiful dog we've ever seen.
And she absolutely knows it.
And well, that's the Enneagram 3. Enneagram 3s mm-hmm. are very into their appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a little shallow, but she doesn't mind.
Like, a little bit, maybe, but that's okay. Yeah, it's so great. And sevens are kind of into it, too. Like,
no lie, yes.
If we had, and Rupert is kind of like that. Like, he thinks he's amazing.
I mean,
and he is, though. I think it's my fault for making him really have that inflated ego.
I know we're like an hour in, but I wanted to talk about the reapplication process. So, yeah. So when you decide that you want a successor dog, you have to reapply to Guide Dogs for the Blind. It's really, really similar to when you first apply before, you know, even if you have or have not had a guide dog before. So you fill out this online application and you have like a phone interview where they ask you a lot of questions about your lifestyle. And, you know, even if you've already had a guide dog, and it makes sense because when I was first doing this phone interview, like 8 years prior, like, I was living in a dorm on campus, and now I don't. It makes a lot of sense that you still kind of have to go through that process. You also have to be in good, like, physical and mental health, so they want, like, a physical from your primary care physician, and if you're seeing a mental health specialist, kind of a note from them. If you're doing it for the first time, you also have to submit proof that you've had orientation and mobility training, and we talked about this. I talked about this before when we've talked about guide dogs, but it's been a hot minute. So, you know, your dog doesn't know where you want to go, really. You have to know where you're going so that you can, like, give your dog directional commands, like forward, left, right. So you need to have the skills in order to safely and effectively, like, walk around without a guide dog, because just adding on a dog without good navigation skills just creates confusion.
Mm-hmm.
But also you have to prove that you're blind. I didn't have to do that again.
Blind.
I'm still blind, and I think they know. Yeah. But that whole thing takes a while, and then the last portion of the application itself is you need this home visit. So in the end of November, I had mine where they both came to evaluate me for, like, evaluate Romana and also evaluate me for, like, mm-hmm. my mobility skills and make sure that, like, I was still, like, capable of working a dog. And so this home visit was really cool because, number one, like, Roman and I walked to the grocery store and back, followed by a couple trainers from a distance. They just kind of saw how we did. And we got to the store. We were going to walk back to my house. And they were like, you know, I just wanted to tell you that, like, she was wagging her tail the entire way.
When you told me that, it, like, yeah, I remember this. And it made my heart,
like,
burst.
Shatter my heart. Like,
shattered into a million pieces. It's the sweetest thing.
She just loves hanging out. She just loves
she
going
does.
On
she
a walk.
Loves it. And that's great.
Yeah. Even though she's, like, kind of tired of it, like, she'll still do it, but I don't want her to hate it, you know.
Yeah, very true.
But then, so we walked back, and then they do this thing, this training exercise called a Juno walk, and basically what that is the trainer takes the empty guide dog harness and they hold it out a little bit of a ways in front of you, and then they kind of simulate a dog walking, and it's more just like so that they can teach you commands and like kind of the appropriate, like, you have to stand in certain places, there's an amount of footwork you need to do when you're making, like, a turn, like, left or right, and it's like a controlled way to do that, and they kind of simulate the dog getting distracted and how you would, like, get their attention back. So we did that, and they also used that opportunity to really measure my pace, my walking pace, or my preferred walking pace. And then we just kind of have a conversation about, you know, my preferences. But it was really funny because it was through this home visit that the trainers who were evaluating me as we sat down after the Juno walk bit, they were like, you know, I would say that you're a pretty brisk walker. And I was like, yeah, wait, what yes. does that mean? And so basically that means I need a special category of guide dog, a brisk guide dog.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so accurate. It's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I think I would also be placed in that category.
You would also need a brisk dog.
Yeah, I would definitely, definitely. Rupert is extremely brisk in an annoying way. If he has to poop, TMI, he is just going to yank me. But he's also not trained like a guide dog, so it's kind of I'm joking, but...
he's like no, at the yeah. speed of light.
Yeah. Yeah, he may be small, but he is fierce.
He is mighty.
But no, yeah, I love that you're in a brisk category. I think know, that's right? incredible. And it makes me very curious for whose successor is going to be.
Yeah, well, and so they made that comment, and they made another comment as, like, they were teaching me they were going over the commands, I guess, because I still retained a lot of the knowledge that I had when I first went to training, and they taught me those commands in the first place, like... how to give your dog a correction, which basically just means you jerk the leash a little bit. It doesn't hurt them. It just like kind of like gets their attention. It's almost as if you were like kind of tapping someone on the shoulder. And they told me to like give a correction, and I did it. And they were like, you can probably do it a little harder. You're not gonna hurt the dog. So I did it, and they were like, wow, you're pretty strong. You could handle a pretty big dog. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm so used to Romana. She's such a little girl. She's like 55-ish pounds. And she's pretty short. And I'm pretty tall. So like when I first went to train with her, they gave me like, they had to give me a longer harness handle because she was short and I'm tall.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I've seen the different harness handles, because then you have Molly, who's pretty short, and she has really tall dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So then her harness handle is probably a lot shorter, just because they measure it to, yeah, they measure it to you and the dog, of course.
Yeah, yeah, so it's, I'm curious to see what kind of dog I get, too. But, yeah, that'll be super interesting. Like, for the end of the process, like... Basically, I don't know when I'm getting a new guide dog. I got accepted into the program in January, but there are a lot of people on the wait list. So it can take like a year from when you get accepted. So they used to be able to kind of project out when you could go. So like when I first got accepted to go get Romana, it was like December of 2015. And they were like, okay, you'll probably come in around August. And I did. And now, still post-pandemic, they still have not gotten to that point where they can forecast when you might be able to come in. So I'm kind of just waiting for the call.
Yep. Waiting for the call. It's exciting. It's really exciting.
It is. Training is really fun. It's a lot of work. Like, so you go to their facility in either Oregon or California for 2 weeks, and you train with this dog. And you work with a trainer, and you start to get to know the guide and see just how well you jive. It's a lot of work. You really, like, you have to start bonding with the dog. They keep you on a pretty tight schedule, too, where, like, you are, you know, consistently, like relieving your dog and giving them water and waking up early. And it's just, it's pretty rigorous. You're walking a lot during the day. You're like mentally on to just like suss out like how are things going? Like, you know, you kind of have to also, something new that'll be for me is like I have to go back to basics and like remember that I can't take the shortcuts that I did, like, because like this dog can't read my mind like Romana.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's going to be some like miscommunications there.
Yeah.
But it is exciting. It's like a new adventure. I'm sure I'll be 27 when I'm getting a new guide dog. So it really just feels like the beginning of like my true adulthood.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's like a new a new era, a new chapter, if you will.
Ooh, new era.
New era.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a good way to ring in your late 20s.
It'll be fun. It'll be a good time, yeah. Even though it won't be Romana, and I'm definitely going to call my new dog Romana.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my gosh. It's inevitable, truly.
Yeah, but you'll eventually get to that point with your new guide where you will read their minds. It just might take a while, but
it takes like, I don't know, like between 6 months and a year to really like really bond with your dog.
I mean, comparing it to a pet is not the same, but like I even felt that way with Rupert. Like I feel like I can read his mind now, and he knows me. Like I know his every move. If I can't find him, I know where he is. Like it's that kind of thing. But it's like I didn't always know him like that. Like that's just
well, especially because you got him as a puppy, so you had to do all of that like really hard work. Ugh. Where like Romana, usually when you get a guide dog, like they're about 2 years old, and so it's if you also like I know we're pretty deep at the end of our episode, but I will link in the show notes the documentaries by Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Definitely.
They're really, really good, and it really gives you some insight into, like, the process on the dog's side and like, everything that they have to go through in order to, like, really, like, finally be matched with someone. So they're so good, and puppies.
Definitely. Yeah, no, those documentaries are great.
But I think for now, I am just, I'm really proud of Romana. I'm excited to celebrate her and all of her accomplishments. It's like her commencement. But
and I like also, she's,
oh, go ahead.
She's been through the whole pod with us, you know?
She has.
Like, she's on the cover art. She's on the cover art. She's on the merch. She's a big part of the pod. And so that's really special, too, that she was the dog that started the pod with you.
I know. It's so special. Yeah, I forgot that, like, I didn't even process that she was on the merch, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She'll always be on our merch.
She will. How special. Yeah. Also, again, if you, if you're this deep into the episode, I'm not accepting really gifts for her retirement, but I am doing a little fundraiser for Guide Dogs for the Blind in honor of Romana. If you feel so inclined, it is by no means necessary, but if you want to support Guide Dogs for the Blind and all of the really great work that they do, they're an incredible organization. I'm honored that, like, I've been able to work with them and that, like, they give you all of this and the amount of training that goes into a dog and money. It takes like at least $50,000 to $60,000 to train one of these dogs to completion.
Yeah.
And you know, blind handlers will get them for free. So like it's incredible. They do so much great work. And you know, I'll be going back there to get my successor. So would love to support them if you are financially able.
Definitely. Yeah, and I just want to say how much I love Romana and how proud I am of her and how great it's been to watch from the very beginning. And I'm excited to watch this new dog from the very beginning, too. And I can't wait to hear all the tea at school.
So much tea. Yeah, I will. I mean, foreshadowing a bit, there will definitely be some kind of episode where I talk about what training is like whenever I do get to go. But in the meantime, I'm excited for you to still see her again since you're coming to visit this year.
Yes, I know. I'm so excited to see her.
It's going to be great.
We're planning to maybe travel together in January, so I'm wondering if we'll see if you have the dog by then or not. We don't
know. We'll see. Oof, that could be really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Or we can just be cane buds, which is also an adventure in itself.
It absolutely is. We will get to be cane buds when we see each other in July, though.
That's true. And when I come visit you. So we have a lot of things planned, you guys. It's exciting.
It's gonna be so exciting. But anyway, we so appreciate you guys being here. If you want to send Romana off, you can send a message, comment, or whatever. I don't know. I will keep track of these things and will like help send her off at her party. I'm excited for it, so.
Yes. Happy trails, Romana. Congratulations. And loved getting to do this episode as kind of a tribute to her. And yeah, definitely send Romana some love, everyone. But yeah, so great.
So happy for great. Her. Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of her. She's such a good girl. Well,
she is.
On that note, though, we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
We will. Bye!
Bye!